If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
KEFI Gold and Copper reached a significant milestone this week. It signed a $240 million debt deal to fund the development of the Tulu Kapi gold mine in Ethiopia. Here to tell us a little bit more about the latest at Tulu Kapi, it's Harry Agnes Gustaris Adams. Harry, how are you?
I'm good, thank you, Alistair. Good to be here.
Yeah, good to see you. So how significant do you see the signing with the banks yesterday?
Well, you know, I'm close to the action, obviously, but as objective as I can be, to me, it's the most significant milestones since the company was formed 20-odd years ago. So difficult to overstate its importance from my point of view. I think, taking a team and shareholders into a frontier market is one thing. Then to bring major banks in is a second thing. To have to traverse reforms and security issues is another thing. And then to pull it all together and actually announce that you've done it is a huge milestone for the company, and due credit to all the people in the company on the ground who put it all together.
I mean, it is amazing to see. I don't think it would be unfair. I hope you don't think it's unfair if I characterise the inception of KEFI all those years ago. It was really a mining minnow, and now it's signing a $240 million debt transaction as part of a bigger development deal. It's a real transformation. But it's been a long journey, though, hasn't it, Harry? How do you feel about the journey and where you've been and where you're going?
Well, it reminds me a little bit of when Ronald Reagan was at his inauguration speech, and his Secretary of State at the time invited him onto the dais or whatever it was and said, congratulations, Mr. President, welcome to the thick and the thick. And he said, what happened to the thin? And he said, welcome to the presidency, Mr. President. And I think that's what it's like when you go into a frontier market. You know, you go into all sorts of challenges you don't confront in an established jurisdiction. And, you could write a couple of books about what we've contended with, whether it's on security, on politics, on having to negotiate regulatory reform, build relationships, all those things. And most factors are outside management's control. It's quite a huge leap of faith or risk or whatever you want to call it. So, yes, it's been a long journey. And as I say, I could write a couple of books about it. But the fact of the matter is we persisted. We were tenacious. We protected our people from security risks. We protected our property, the company's property, from threats. Whether it was litigation or other things that weren't visible publicly. We've done all that, and we've actually had manager sign-off of the transaction from two large development banks. And getting those groups to sign off is a huge milestone, and the due diligence, the regulatory changes, the documentation, all those things are very demanding to take it to a banking level. And the reality is, even though it's been that long journey, the government only allowed it to proceed in May, with Parliament ratifying the second bank's right to be in the country. And since May, we've put it together. So when we've been allowed to run, we've actually run, and all our trials and tribulations were overcoming things in a frontier market that were out of our control. So, putting aside the history, and history can be written by many different people, fact of the matter is we've landed in a great place. We're transforming the company as we speak from an explorer to a developer. And at a moment where the country's taking off, and at a moment where the gold price is experiencing a boom of unprecedented proportions. So, there's been a bit of luck thrown into that moment, which is great.
Yeah, I mean we're all rooting for you guys to get into production as soon as possible, given the stellar gold price that you talk about. Do you see any significant hurdles still ahead of you, Harry?
Well, I think anybody who's about to launch a development in a new jurisdiction which has had some instability, anyone who's about to do that who said there's no hurdles ahead of us, no obstacles ahead of us, is either bullshitting or ignorant. Dealing with construction and dealing with execution of a business plan when you're allowed to run is a completely different proposition in risk management to walking around in a political and commercial and regulatory jungle with half blindfolded, and dealing with people you bump into in ways where you have to be fleet of foot. So going forward, it's much more predictable, much more manageable, and we had the construction people on the site the other day. They came away apparently very elated at the way we've set it all up for them to run at it. It's something we're looking forward to, Alistair, if I can put it that way. Most people would run away from what we've done in the past, but pretty well anyone in this industry would run at what we've got ahead of us, if I can put it that way. So we all look forward to the future execution challenges as compared to setting a country and a project up in the first place.
Now, mining markets are always fickle, as we know, Harry. So the share price of KEFI dropped a little bit, didn't it, after this announcement of the debt financing? What do you make of that?
Bemusing. The way I look at it, accuse me of being oversimplistic or whatever, but the stock's gone up about 50% overall over the past month. The stock provided liquidity when it was required by someone in the market who had to sell for whatever reason, we don't know. But someone needed liquidity, and the stock provided the liquidity for that person. I think the highest turnover of the stock ever that I've noticed, for someone to get out because they obviously needed to get out. And I think we shouldn't get too, how would I put it, anal, in my view. Gold will go up and gold will go down. The stock will go up, the stock will go down, and one of the things we have to provide if we're a listed company is liquidity when people need it. And that's one of the things that gold has to provide if people need liquidity globally. And gold will come down when people need liquidity, and then it will recover itself again. And so other than being bemused by someone selling on the back of the most important achievement of the company ever, with such huge upside staring at us, I think we provided the liquidity for that person, and good luck to them, whatever their problem was and wherever they're heading.
Yeah, I mean, I guess another way of putting it is that whoever was selling was able to sell into a strong market for KEFI and for gold. So that was nice for them.
I mean, that's all you can say. I mean, I'm just stabbing in the dark, really, but that's just my interpretation of it.
So to finish us off today, Harry, tell us a little bit about the final portions of the financing for Tulu Kapi. You talked about the equity portion in the release that went along with the debt financing. So tell us how that's going to unfold.
Well, we've done our best, if you like, to assemble choices for the company. On the one hand, it's not that long ago that we were capped at a very small number. And there we were explaining publicly and openly that we're going to finance a $400 million project. And I think most observers thought this guy's kidding. And today, it's no longer are we financing a $400 million project. It's no longer this guy's kidding. It's actually, oh, what about the last 60 million? How are you doing that? So that's the first point to make. We weren't able to close the last piece of it until now, because it's like it or not, until the government's fully lined up, cleared the banks are locked in. Most equity investors in a project finance package will not knuckle down to the last run at it to close it off. They need to see that to know that it's going to happen first. And nor did we, frankly, want to close it off until we got to more or less the current circumstances where it's clear to everybody that it is happening. And therefore, it's no longer a position of, how far do you have to give and bend over to get a deal done? We're on a much better footing than we were 6 months ago. So if anybody said, oh, well, you should have done the equity 6 months ago, they just don't get it. They just don't get it. You have to nail down the government, the debt, and then do the last piece on the best terms you can do in the circumstances, given what you've already achieved. And we're blessed that we've had this good fortune of the gold price running at the same time. So what have we done? We've assembled local investors in local currency on terms that are attractive for them, but we can only take so much of that because it's in local currency. We need hard currency as well as local currency to fund the project development. So they're one component of it. And it's a good capital from KEFI's overall point of view, and we now need to close that off. We've got non-convertible preference shares issued to Ethiopians, institutions, and high net worths. Secondly, we've got a mining fund who wants to invest, and they're negotiating. We didn't allow the price negotiation to start until now. We did the structural negotiation and the policy negotiation, but now we can turn to the pricing now that the debt's under our belt, so to speak. We've got a streamer deal on the table. We can now tweak that. So we've got a little package of deals floating around, which we couldn't really finish off until now. Although that's all been public knowledge, what I just said to you, it's set out in the RNS, more or less verbatim, what I just said. I tried to explain to you why trying to nail all that before the debt was signed off would have been, from a commercial negotiation viewpoint, would have been inappropriate, both from the point of view of wasting people's time in their eyes until the debt is signed off, and secondly, from the point of view of maximizing the negotiating leverage on behalf of KEFI to get the best deal done. Now that everybody knows this is going ahead, the debt is there, the government is there, the contractors are on the ground going through mobilization procedures, the train has left the station. And so it's jump on board or not. And that's what we've been working towards, and that's what we're doing now. And we're blessed. Can't say how fortunate it is that we're doing so when the country's taking off so rapidly and the gold price has taken off so rapidly. So I think, a lot of people have complimented us and expressed appreciation for our perseverance and tenacity. But that counts for nothing if you can't close the deal and get on with it. And we're very lucky now that the backdrop to us on this transaction has swung in our favour. We can all get on with it now.
Well, Harry, it's good to see the pieces beginning to fall into place at last. Thanks very much for joining us today to talk us through it.
Thanks, Alistair. Keep in touch.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.